Hi everyone, I'm Haley Griffiths, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, your weekly sandbox for social media stories, insights, experimentation, and learning.
Welcome to episode number 65. I'm Brian Peters, and this week we're diving deep into what we know best, and that's social media marketing. We chat about a lot of different topics here on this show, but today we thought we'd share a firsthand look into what's working right now for businesses and entrepreneurs on social media.
Social media tactics, platforms, and strategies change so quickly, and so it's important for businesses to prioritize what's working and to drop what's not. Some of the things we're going to talk about on today's show are very strategy-focused or ways of thinking about social media, and others are much more tactical and things you can try today in your social media efforts.
Awesome. So we're going to cover all of this in 8 quick tips for businesses and entrepreneurs. So without further ado, let's get started. On the strategy side of things, the first thing that businesses and entrepreneurs must do is make a commitment to social media if you're truly dedicated to seeing your social media program succeed. Like any other form of marketing, social media can be an extreme challenge. It's hard to grow an audience, create great content, and increase engagement on a consistent basis. And all too often, I see brands giving up on social media after just a few months. The truth is, it takes 8 months to a year to really get the hang of social media. That's from personal experience and things that I've seen with other marketers. Not only to get a consistent content stream going, but to figure out what your audience resonates with and what they don't. It took me, like I said, a full 8 months before we really started to see traction at Buffer. And, you know, we already had a big audience at that point.
It's so true. I think that 8 month to a year rule is really awesome to put out there. All right. So the top tip that we can offer you is to make a commitment to yourself and to your employees to make social media a priority for you if you want to succeed. That all starts with planning. Create a social media strategy and write it down. It doesn't have to be incredibly in-depth, just something to guide your efforts and keep you accountable for what you set out to do. Your strategy should include a basic company overview, content plan, and goals. In other words, a powerful statement on why people would follow you on social media, what kind of content you plan on creating and posting, and what you hope to achieve. As time goes on, this document will morph and grow along with your social media, and that's totally normal.
Yeah, absolutely normal. And I think that why people would follow you on social media part is super important, Haley. A lot of businesses don't truly know the why. So determining your X factor, as you know, if for lack of a better word, is the most important thing you can do. And when it comes to your goals, it doesn't have to be traffic or sales. There's absolutely no shame in creating goals around brand awareness and engagement like we talked about back in episode number 63. So number one question you can ask yourself is, why would people follow me or my brand on social media? Which transitions us perfectly into tip number 2 for businesses and entrepreneurs, and that's to always authentically be you on social media. I'd like everyone to take a second to think about the brands that you follow on social. What makes them special? What makes you follow them? Chances are that there is something special about the content they post or the way in which they post it. I'm guessing that they have a personality, like a real true personality, and aren't just brands or robots pushing content out.
Completely agree. And creating a great social media presence isn't only about showing the value of your product or services to your audience, because they don't always want to hear about that. It's about connecting and experiences. The best brands out there show a common point of view with their fans. They talk like their fans, they think like their fans, they experience the same challenges and successes as their fans, and they turn that into one cohesive social media experience. There is a reason that the BuzzFeeds and the viral threads of the world do so well on social media. Sure, they have adorable videos of animals, and that's great content, but it also feels like you're interacting with a real human.
Exactly, Haley. I seriously cringe every time I see a brand put out, you know, another generic article or post on social media, because the reality is that sort of content is a dime a dozen. One of my favorite examples here, and we had them on the show a few episodes back, is Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And they're a dictionary, and they're absolutely killing it on social media. And it's because they have a personality. They're fun, witty, and entertaining, and it's a dictionary. So the more passionate you are and the more you can be yourself, the more you'll attract an audience that stays around and engages with your content. And highly recommend going back and checking out that episode. Some super great insights from their social media manager there.
Yeah, Lauren did a great job in that episode. So some cool content. Another perfect transition into our number three tip, Brian, and it's that great social media programs are built around listening to customers, not promoting to them. The way we like to think about it is that social media offers an incredible open-ended platform that businesses can use to communicate and engage with customers. That's why we recommend using it that way.
Yep, absolutely.
There are two parts to this. First is in the literal sense. We chatted about this before, but social media is becoming a customer service platform and people are coming to expect that of it. And also just making sure to respond to the questions and comments on the posts themselves. The tricky part is the better you get at social, the more engagement you'll get, and in turn, the more comments. So be prepared for an influx of love from your fans. It is a good problem to have.
Yes, this is probably the best problem to have. It's definitely a double-edged sword, though, because you have to be willing to invest those resources. Quick shout out to our tool Buffer Reply here. I use it every day and absolutely love it for quickly responding to people across social media. So if you haven't seen Buffer Reply, absolutely recommend it. But we did mention that there's two parts to this. And the second is that your customers are the best source of inspiration for content. Lots of businesses are sitting on a never-ending goldmine of content ideas by simply looking at their frequently asked questions or what people are asking them on social media. Another great resource for this as well for I guess mining for content is also Quora. It's a great platform for finding out what's really being asked in your industry. So if you're stuck on what to post, look to your customers first for ideas before anything else. You can also listen to competitors' ideas as well. So, you know, it sounds kind of funny, but you can use tools like Twitter lists, BuzzSumo, Facebook pages to watch, Google Keyword Planner, and YouTube. And those are all great places to find what's working in your industry. Rolling along with our social media tips for businesses and entrepreneurs is focus, focus, focus.
I totally agree. So social media networks are like shiny new objects. We want to be everywhere at once and try everything because we're sure that this network will be the one for us. But the fact is that we're all strapped for resources. We all have the exact same amount of hours in the day, days in the year. So if you try to focus on lots of social networks, then you're setting yourself up for a really long road ahead and potentially a lot less sleep.
Yes, a lot less sleep, really long road. I know for a fact because we tried. At one time, we were everywhere. I'm pretty sure we were on all the standard networks, Snapchat, obviously, along with lesser known networks like Anchor, Beam, Tumblr, Whale. I mean, I don't even know what I was doing at that time. But what we found was that we were getting average results across the board. And not to mention, it was taking full days to post content to each platform. It just wasn't sustainable.
I don't even know what Whale is. I totally missed the boat on that one.
See, exactly. I think that's maybe the point there.
Yeah. And it may seem counterintuitive because you want to be everywhere and you think that the best way is to just jump on every social network. But focusing all your efforts on the 2 to 3 platforms that give you the best return on investment is the best way to go. So crafting content unique to each platform is critical here. For example, let's say we write a blog post about social media marketing. Well, writing the copy that will get attention and clicks on LinkedIn is much different than what works on Facebook, which is dramatically different than what works on Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter. And if you end up posting the same copy across platforms, it just won't perform at an optimum level, especially not that LinkedIn to Snapchat one. That would be strange. So it takes a lot of time to craft the perfect update for each platform, and you have to be willing to invest that.
Absolutely. And what happens is when you focus on too many platforms at once, it's really tough to pinpoint what's working and what's not because it really just all looks the same across all platforms, right? So yeah, it's that obsession and focus on a particular platform that allows you to hone in and be successful on specific tactics and also experimentation, right? So social media is all about experimentation. Consumer behavior and habits change more quickly than anyone can keep track of, even, you know, someone who works in social media all day. Focusing on platforms will allow you to keep a consistent stream of experimentation going as well.
Our last tip on the strategy side of social media marketing is to remember that passion helps generate truly great and memorable content. I know that this sounds very cheesy, so I'm going to try and explain what I mean here.
So cheesy.
Success on social media is a long road, like we've said. And it took us about 8 months of hard work to get to a point where we felt good about our social program. But imagine if those 8 months were filled with posting content that we ourselves did not even care about. So social media success has to follow passion.
Couldn't agree more, Haley. We find from talking to businesses and entrepreneurs is that one of the biggest hurdles to their social media programs is generating new content on a regular basis. The only way to ensure long-term commitment and that social media doesn't become a burden is to make room for your passion. The nice thing about social media is that your content doesn't necessarily have to be directly related to your brand or industry. And a lot of times it's actually the best when it's not. So meaning that it doesn't have to be what everyone else is doing. We suggest that as business owners, you pick a topic that you love and that you are truly passionate about.
So for example, at Buffer, we're a social media software service. At first glance, there's not a ton to do with that, but we're passionate about social media, education, remote work, and the future of work. And when you put it that way, it opens up a treasure trove of amazing content ideas that we can use. The content is serving our mission as a business and allowing people to jump on board with a cause that they care about. You can find the same thing for your business.
All right, let's transition to some specific tactical social media strategies that you can walk away with and try today. And where else should we start than with video? Video is the hottest topic in social media right now, and so I'd love to share a few strategies that you can use to create some amazing video content. The first is subject matter. I know a lot of marketers struggle with what to create video about, and the best solution I have for you there is to start with what works. Sort your blog content in order of most traffic and create videos around those topics. So super specific takeaway. And again, you can use Facebook pages to watch to figure out what kind of videos your competitors are making or your peers are making and which ones are working. And then you can generate topic ideas based off that. Use your customers as resources. Look outside of your specific industry to your favorite brands. The key is to start with what works and gain some confidence right off the bat with video. And if you're looking for a great tool, I'd highly recommend Animoto.
That's a great suggestion. I know you use them a lot, Brian. They seem like an easy one to use. Mm-hmm. So let's talk for a second about video best practices. So you have your topic and you're ready to make a video. What next? Well, there are some scientific factors that people are more likely to interact with. One is video length. On Facebook, for example, the highest engaging videos are between 60 to 90 seconds, and the second highest are between 30 to 60 seconds. Same holds true for Twitter. So keep your videos short and to the point. Save the best for first, if you will. And for tools, if you're going to have a person in your video, you're going to need a good lav microphone, natural light from a window, and a tripod. So sound, lighting, and camera stability are super key. You can find the mic and tripod at Amazon for very cheap, and so it's not very difficult to get these things.
Totally, yeah. I got my current setup that you might have seen in a lot of Buffer videos for less than $50 on Amazon, and they work great. Obviously, they're not the most professional tools out there, but for $50, can't go wrong. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter, Brian and Haley, and we'll be happy to send you those links to those tools. And if you're going to do an animated or text-only video, which we do a lot here at Buffer, kind of saves the hassle of you trying to get somebody to be in your video, all you need to do is grab some good B-roll and a video editor. So my two favorite must-have sites for stock video are Pexels, P-E-X-E-L-S, and Videvo, V-I-D-E-V-O. Both super high quality and great search features. So in short, there's never been an easier time to get started with video.
Our number 7 of 8 social media marketing mastery tips is to get the most out of your content, which might seem obvious at first, but we all have so many things going on that it can be easy for us to forget that we don't have to continuously pump out content to be successful. From what we've seen at Buffer, the more you can repurpose and make your content feel fresh in a variety of ways, the less content you'll actually have to put out and the more success you'll have.
Exactly. So for example, lots of us spend money, time, and resources creating blog content for our website in hopes that people visit it, right? Well, what we found is that we can actually triple traffic from social media to certain blog posts or web pages just by thinking social in the creation process. This means creating shareable graphics throughout the post that people can share on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. It also means testing multiple headlines on Twitter or other social networks to see which one works best.
Yep, and it could also involve creating Instagram stories to help promote the post, or creating a short video for Facebook summarizing the post, or even a YouTube video to accompany the post. In other words, every piece of content that you create should have at least 2 to 3 other pieces of shareable content to accompany it. That way, if the link doesn't resonate, then the video might. Or if the video falls short, maybe it makes good for Instagram stories. Repurposing and sharing your content in a variety of ways across social media will help you to avoid sounding monotonous and stand out from your competition.
The question is, would this be an episode on social media marketing if we didn't mention social media advertising?
It would definitely not. This is why we have to cover this for our number 8 tip.
Agreed, Haley. So our last episode was about Facebook advertising. And a quick sidebar, we actually have a second Skillshare class, woohoo, launching on October 31st, all about social media advertising. So keep an eye out for that. We'll also mention it in a later episode here. Yeah. Lots of great resources on advertising coming out from Buffer. So super excited. Anyways, today I thought we could specifically cover the importance of boosting posts for businesses and entrepreneurs, as we haven't really covered that aspect of advertising before. It's really hard to be successful at advertising, and unless you have a team running your ads or you're able to invest a lot of time in running experiments yourself, you could end up wasting a lot of money on paid advertising. The nice thing about boosting posts on social media is that you're working with something that is guaranteed to drive engagement based on how it performed organically.
Yeah, so let's dive in there for a second and expand on a proven strategy that can work for your business. The way we like to think about it is that organic social media posting, which is traditionally what we're all doing, is the perfect testing ground for paid ads and boosted posts. In other words, you're using organic reach to determine what posts you should put money behind. And the best part is, you can apply this strategy to whatever goal you're trying to accomplish. Let's say you want to drive traffic to your website. Well, you can simply sort your most clicked social media posts in Buffer to determine your top performers. Then boost one or two of those posts. Or maybe you want to increase brand awareness, which is what we use boosted posts a lot for here at Buffer. Then you can sort content by engagement or even engagement rate and boost your top performers there.
It's honestly, Haley, and I don't say this often, a fail-proof strategy. It's been killing it for us here at Buffer. And the best part is that you can actually target specific users within any of these ad managers. So Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Let's say your goal, like we talked about, or like you talked about before, is to drive traffic to your website. And you've identified a top performing traffic driving post that you've sent out organically in like the last few weeks or months. Well, you can create an audience that is most likely to also enjoy that post. That could be a lookalike audience that is similar to your website visitors, or maybe it's an audience who has shown interest in your competitors, or maybe it's an audience based on demographics like location, age, or even mobile type. You can then exclude traffic to your website to eliminate people who are already familiar with your brand or who have already visited your website, and then boost the traffic driving content to a brand new audience. So, you know, just like we talked about in the last episode, if you break advertising down to simple steps that are doable and easy to follow, it really is achievable for a lot of businesses.
And that's it. We know what a challenge social media can be for businesses and entrepreneurs, but we hope that some of the tips that we have shared today will help you find social media success now and in the future. We've seen firsthand how powerful it can be, and we want you to find a groove of your own.
Think of us like your very own social media following, always liking and clicking on your content. With that said, thanks for joining us today for another episode of The Science of Social Media. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd greatly appreciate it if you send this episode to one friend or family member who you think might enjoy it. Also, feel free to send any comments our way on Twitter with the hashtag BufferPodcast. Until next week, everyone.